It's good to have y'all with us today. Let's pray before we go any farther, all right? Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, for our freedom in this country to be here, for this place, for our breakfast, for your mercy. We ask for wisdom as we look at your word. Remind us as individuals, as a church, what your desire is for us to bring glory and honor to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were with us last week, you know, we started looking at the concept of the fall because the Resurrection Sunday is coming. And we kind of post that question out there. Why do we need a cross? And why do we need a resurrection? Is it really necessary? And we started looking at that concept last week from Genesis, and we're going to look at it again today. That why we need it, we do, and why is that? All right. Some of you were alive like me in 1970. Who was alive then? A lot of y'all. Some of you were not. I forget that, but I remember, you remember in 1970 when Apollo 13 had a problem, and they made a big movie out of it, and the catchphrase became, "Houston, we have a problem," but that's really not what was said. In 1970, Jim Lowell was not the one who made the statement. In the movie he was, but that's not right. Of course, not all movies are right, are they? Hello. It was John Swigert who said it, and when he called Houston, he said, "Houston, we've had a problem." Not we have one. We've had a problem. And Houston said, "Say again?" He said, "We've had a main B bus overload. We've had a problem," which, you know, the whole movie was about what? Trying to get that fixed where they could get back home. The problem was the same thing we have. The reason we need a cross is we've had a problem, and we still have a problem. It's because we inherited the problem, and you know that's what we've been looking at. It's kind of amazing because you know the end of the 20th century. In the 20th century, there were over 100 million people killed by tyrants, by dictators. And yet at the end of the 20th century, the West, where we are, came to this conclusion. There is no evil. It's a cultural construct. And you read stories where they hatchet people to pieces in parts of Africa, but you can't say anything about it. That's just their culture. It's not evil. Hello? Are you kidding me? And you ask people in this room, do you think we need a cross? Why? I'm a good person. I don't need any cross. I don't need anything to fix me. What we're going to look at here in just a minute from Genesis, yes, you do have a problem. And I have a problem. And here's the theme. You can't fix it. But you better get it fixed. Because where it leads to is not good. You know, that's what this is. Is there a fall? Yes. You know, it's amazing. You know, we've been going through Revelation, and really one thing we saw clearly, I think, that of the unholy Trinity, you know, the Antichrist and his two helpers, the false prophet is one of them. His main gift, and he has one, the devil is very gifted spiritually. I mean, he's not a dummy. I mean, he has power. His main gift is delusion, to deceive us, to make us think something, and one of those things is to make us think we're okay, and we don't need anything. Or this, to make us think we can decide and fix everything ourselves, we don't need anybody's help outside, and that's what it is. And if you don't think you have a problem, then guess what? You're not going to try to fix it, right? Isn't that the way that works? Yeah. I read an interesting story. It happened a few years ago. A freshman at a junior school in Idaho presented a how gullible we are. And this is what he did to prove his point. He came up with this petition and he passed it out to 50 people. And this is what it said. It says, we have a serious problem with DHMO, dihydrogen monoxide, and it really needs to be taken off the market or really taken, you know, somebody needs to stringently look at the applications of it. And he passed it out to 50 people. And this was what was in his petition. He said, we need to make sure we do this, and here are the reasons why. It can cause excessive sweating and vomiting. It's a major component in acid rain. It can cause severe burns in its gaseous state. Accidental inhalation of it will kill you. It decreases effectiveness in automobile brakes. And it's been found in tumors of terminal ill patients. 46 people said, we need to do away with that. 6 people didn't even decide, didn't vote because they said, we're undecided. Only one person knew what it was. You know what it is? Water. Water. The devil is great at thinking, making you think you're okay when you're not okay. And that, you know, that's exactly what we're going to see. God makes it clear to Adam and Eve and to us, you're in a mess, but you can't fix it. You can't give enough money. You can't teach enough classes. You can't do enough good deeds. You cannot fix this mess. You're going to try. And churches have been trying, and denominations have been trying. And remember, Orthodox Christianity is the only religious system in the world out of the 6 major world religions. It is the only one that says, we do have a problem, but we can't fix it. We have to depend on God to fix it through the person of Jesus Christ. That's what sets us apart. And he makes it clear as plain, we have one. Now, I'm going to pick it up quickly in Genesis 3:7 and following. We looked at some of it last week. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Okay, they were already taking the fruit before this verse, and now their eyes are open. So we saw that, you know, last week. And they heard the voice of Jehovah God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Evidently, they've been doing this. It wasn't the first time this happened. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah God among the trees of the garden. And God came looking for them and called on them and says, where are you? It's not like he didn't know. Like your children. You watch them. You know they're doing something wrong, and you see it. They don't see you see it. But you say, what are you doing? Nothing. Why'd you ask them? Did you already know it? Oh, yeah. You don't even have to see them. You can just know if they're quiet. Something's going on, right? Even the dogs. They know when they're doing something wrong. When you walk out there, they got something they're not supposed to have. Am I right or wrong? It's not like God says, do you need to tell me what's going on? He knows. He knows every thought that's going through your mind right now. Boy, that's a scary thing, isn't it? And a lot of people say, oh, no, well, God doesn't know. Boy, you are a fool if you believe that. And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself. God already knows, whoa, wait a minute. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the free tree of where I commanded you not to? That's the only way you would know you're naked. Again, he's not asking him, did you? I know you did. I'm just asking you. You think through what I'm asking you. And the man said, oh, the woman you gave me. How about that? It's never my fault. It's always her fault or his fault. Right? Wasn't me. She gave it to me, so I did eat. Like that excuses him? Nobody wants to take responsibility for their foolishness to this day. Oh, well, the reason you did it. It's wrong. Own it. You know, do something about it. That's what he's saying. And Jehovah God said unto the woman, do you know what you've done? I know what you've done. You have no idea what you've done. No idea what you've done. What have you done? And God made for Adam and Eve wife coats of skins and clothed them. He said, oh, yeah, this has got to take place. You're right in trying to cover this thing up, but that's not sufficient. You know, we try to do that. Well, if I'll be baptized, then I'm okay. No. Well, if I'll just get confirmed, I'm okay. No. Well, if I just teach a Sunday school class, I'm okay. No. You can be a member of every church on the earth, and that doesn't fix it. That does not change your heart. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for a heart change. And his wife coats of skins, and he clothed them. And Jehovah God said, behold, a man has become one of us to know good and evil, unless he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat it and live forever. You do understand that, right? That's a very important phrase. Had God allowed them to eat of the tree of life, they would have died in sin forever. Redemption could not have taken place. That would have taken them over the step. That's why when God allows us to die, it is a way of his grace. You know, and that's where you go back to it. He said, oh no, if you eat of that tree of life, you'd have been alive forever. But you've still been in your sin. So he said, oh no, I can't. I love you enough not to let you do that. So he said, behold, the man has become one of us and know good and evil. I'm going to fix that. So Jehovah sent forth him from the garden. He ran him out of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove the man and he placed him at the east of garden, the Eden, the cherubim, with a flame of a sword which turned every way. He said, you can't come back in here. You know what this is saying here? You cannot fix this. You can never go back to this place again. That's why it shows clearly we need a Savior, because we cannot fix it. The first and the greatest sin is not to love God with heart, soul, and mind and strength. You know, we say that's what you're supposed to do. That's not the greatest sin if you don't do it. The first and the greatest sin is not blasphemy, even though it is bad, and it's not breaking the Sabbath. It is not war. Anything horrible you can mention, it is not that. The greatest sin is to take God off the center of your life and put yourself there. You're the sinner. You're God. That's exactly what they did when they did this. They knew everything God demanded. They said, well, let's go ahead and unfold it real quick. How does that work? That's what Genesis 3 is about. It's not whether or not you eat the fruit. They were not supposed to eat of it, but that is not the worst thing that was going on there. It's not if you touch something or nothing. Oh, that's a problem, but it's much deeper than that. The deep thing is this. Sin, in the first instance, from the Christian perspective, is not just, well, I don't do this or I do this. That's not what it's not. That's not what it's about. It's not just a list of external things like the Jews said, oh, well, I do this. But Jesus said, but you hate somebody. I don't care how much good you do. If you hate somebody, something ain't right. So it's not just that. It is not simply doing those things. It's a much more serious thing. It's this. In the first instance, it's taking God out of the center and putting yourself there. Well, I will decide. Because that's what Eve does. That's what we do. We know, sure, God said, you shouldn't be so obnoxious and crazy. Ain't that right? But you're still obnoxious and crazy. Why? Well, that's who I am. Hello? Nobody's sacred. Everybody needs a change. Right? That's what this is. It's difficult to get this across because in this world we live in, nobody has done anything wrong. Sin is not hideous. It's not odious. It's not, oh, no, it's a snicker word. We laugh at it. Oh, what is sin? That is not even it. Remember, at the end of the 20th century when 100 million are killed, there's no such thing as evil. So why do we need fixing? We don't have a problem. There's nothing wrong with us, so we don't need this Jesus to fix us for us because there ain't nothing wrong with us. Hello? Nothing is bad about it. I test you. I challenge you sometimes out there in the world. Just start talking to people in not a judgmental way. Just say, what do you think about people being sinners and see how they respond? Well, what are you talking about? What is sin? They don't know what it is. Start with, they don't know what a woman is. Supreme Court, so why do you expect somebody like us on a level and even know what sin is? Hello? I'm not supposed to be political. I'm sorry. It's just where we live, eh? You got somebody judging cases in the United States that does not even know what a woman is, and she's a woman! Hello? How messed up is that? Huh? That's where we are, though. But there's no evil in the world. Go ask her what is evil. I wonder what she thinks. God can be accepted or rejected on the basis of whether I find out whether he, if it's a he or if it's her, meets my qualifications. We start talking about the God. Oh, well, I can believe in this God because he loves everybody and he doesn't judge anybody. That's where we are. The God I can't believe in is, oh, we domesticate him. Well, he'll be God like I want him to be God. Or I'll go find me another God. And that's exactly what we do. That's exactly what that's what we have in the religious culture in the United States. I'm at the center of the universe. Does that sound familiar? I'm always right. If anybody disagrees with me, they must be wrong. And since I'm at the center, if the family and the business and the church doesn't come to me, then I'll just find me a new group. Then go jump in the creek. Because I'm the center, right? When's the last time you understood yourself that way? You know, teenagers, bless their heart, they hadn't figured it out yet. They think mom and dad is there for their delivery. They can't drive yet, so you got to take them everywhere they want to go, when they want to go. I mean, come on now. Is that right? We used to have to walk. Anybody remember that? If you go and they let you go, you can walk. You know, anybody taking you anywhere? Heavens. You know, I was 20 years old before I ever roller skated. All the other kids went on Friday night to roller skate. We didn't. Why is that? We live way out. And nobody just went to town to roller skate. Hello? I'm not against roller skating. They don't mean that, all right? I did do it finally. It's kind of embarrassing, though. You're 20 years old, and you can't stand up, and all those little tots are running around there. Anybody remember that? Oh, yeah. You have this breakdown because, you know, if everybody in the family doesn't understand that I'm the center and they think they're the center, what are we going to have? A mess. Because everybody thinks everybody's supposed to be doing everything for who? Moi. It's all about me. Why do you think people get divorces? Why do you think churches split? Why do you think we have all kind of political parties? Everybody thinks they're right. I remember that line in that epic movie, The Shooter. Y'all remember that one? You know, this guy's been framed for shooting the president, and he goes to see this old-timer because he knows they framed him by stealing his rifle and all this stuff, and he goes up in Tennessee, and y'all remember this movie, anybody? And he's going to this old-timer, and he says, you know, who can make a cold bore shot 2,000 yards? And he told him, and he says, well, I don't know. I hear there's a guy by the name of Bob Swagger that did it. And Bob's sitting there, and he said, well, that's what they say. And the old man says, yeah, and they also say WMDs were in Iraq. Artificial sweeteners were safe, and that on a cold, Mary for love. Just because they say something don't mean it's right. Hello? Isn't that right? Everybody seems to think they're right. Everybody can't be right. And we're deceived because the devil is great at it. So we'll come to the conclusion, we really don't need Jesus because we're okay. So you die and go to hell because you think you're okay. And you didn't trust Christ and what he did on the cross to pay the price for your sin, so you die and go to hell. That's the only options you have. You know, you see how important this is? To understand, we do have a problem. You know, Byron, yeah, we've had a problem. It didn't just start. We've had one. You take what's not yours because a culture owes you somehow. Well, it's okay for me to steal. Remember doing COVID? Up there at Track Supply, some of the people we know work there say, oh, yeah, they come in here and just steal all this stuff, and we can't even do anything about it. I said, why? Well, they told us just let them go. Why? Surely somebody's got a gun. Well, whoever owes us, that's how you start to think. And that's exactly what's going on. Our sin is deceitfully repulsive to God in what we're doing. Absolutely, let's hurry. We come to the serpent. He was more crafty than any other. That does not mean God made him a trickster. The word prudence means this. You could take somebody who is prudent in the right situation and they will go and be the best person possible. But you can take somebody on the other side and they'll be the worst person possible. Like Harry Potter. Lord Voldemort was deeply gifted, but he went the wrong way. God did, so they're both great things, and there's always, no. God created the devil, and he was cast out of heaven because he wanted to be God. He was not anything, he was made by God. He was an angelic being, the most powerful, I believe. And he chose to be evil. That's how that works. And so God's not just saying, well, I made him more tricky than anybody else. No, that's not what it is. We don't know how exactly this thing went down. All we know is the locus by which the devil was able to communicate with Adam and Eve, it was through a snake. That's all we know, the serpent. And we know in Revelation chapter 12, it tells us exactly who that was, because what did it say in there? It said that what? He was described as that old serpent, the devil, going back to Genesis. You know, everybody spends all their life figuring out, well, what? All it means is God, I mean, that the devil used that by which to communicate. He uses it in all kinds of ways. He uses your telephone. He uses signs on all over the place. It can be anything that he can use to communicate. It just happened to be a snake. They didn't have sign. They didn't have road signs whenever this was going on. But this was the communication. It was one of the animals. That's how it worked. You don't need to spend your life trying to figure that out. You're not going to figure that out. It's not suggesting that God made him a sneaky animal. No. Out of choice. He could have been the best, but he chose to be the worst. You can be the best of what God created you for, or you can be the worst. All of us have some things we have to work with, right? He was already beginning to be in rebellion and going the wrong way. And that's exactly what happened. So he starts this thing with a question, and he merely entertains the possibility for Eve and the focus on this one thing that God said, you don't need to do this. You can have everything else, but you can't have that one thing. So what is it you want then? The one thing you can't have. That's called fallen nature. Why is it? Why are animals that way? Same thing. Everything's affected by it. In order to sneak in the assumption that whatever else God is, Eve, he's a killjoy and he wants to take all the joy away from you. Therefore, you have the right to rebel. Because he's guilty. Look what he's trying to do to you. And because he's trying to do that, it's okay for you now to rebel. Does that sound like us? Just like us. This ain't fair. What is fair? The fair thing is you'd be condemned to hell without a chance to get out. That's the fair thing. That's what God should have done, but he didn't do it that way. You can rebel now, Eve. It's okay. Because God ain't playing fair. He's hiding something from you. You know, your eyes ain't open yet. When your eyes get open, you'll see. Oh, they were opened all right. And whatever else they saw. The first doctrine to be denied is the doctrine. You're not going to die. There is no judgment to your sin. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die and you end up in hell. They leave that part out. Because most of the world doesn't believe in an everlasting hell. They don't. Even in Baptist circles, they've thrown that away. They don't believe in it anymore. It's unfortunate. You won't escape the authority of God in Scripture. If God doesn't have the authority in Scripture that brings consequences, then you don't have to worry. You can just live like you want to. Because you don't have to worry one day that you're going to have to give account for everything you've done. A lot of people think, oh, well, Jesus wiped all away. But there's something called the judgment seat of Christ, where you do have to answer. You have to still be responsible for the way you live your life after you trust Christ. It's not, well, I'm forgiven, so I can just live like hell now. No, that's not what it is. We hear it all the time, but that's not scriptural. It says what? Everyone will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You're not going to be judged if you trust Christ. You're not going to be judged at that seat whether you get in and out of hell, but you will answer. Because if there wasn't something, we could just say, oh yeah, I know Jesus, let's go live it up. You see how that works? You still have responsibility. How many times did Jesus say, the more a person knows, the more they're what? Hell responsible. Hey. Christianity's tough. Real Christianity. Orthodox Christianity. Then it's safe to rebel. Oh, God's a God of love. He's not going to punish you. He understands this is what it's going to take to make you happy. No, that's not what he said. He said, be obedient. Right? That's what he said. What did he tell Samuel? When he told Saul? The incentive is to become like God. To refuse to recognize my place as a creature created by God in his image to follow the guidelines he's made because his guidelines are best for me. That's something we forget. When God says, don't do that, he said, don't hurt yourself. He said, I'm trying to look out for you, and if you do what I tell you, you'll be a lot happier and safer. Oh, no, God, you don't understand. So what we do is we start being practical atheists. We say we believe in God, we just don't live like it. Because who is really God? Moi. Me. Stephen Furtick told me so. Y'all don't know who that is. Don't look that up, okay? Because he's a nutcase as well. He didn't used to be that way. I heard him in the other days, and he was pretty straight. He's Siam. You look at their life, and you look at what the Scripture says, and you say, this does not go together. Something's wrong, and it's not the Bible. Well, it's your interpretation. No, my interpretation of the Bible says you're not to be a shyster. We had some of those, remember? It was not simply an invitation to break a single rule, although it was that. It was much more than that. It was a revolution. You know what revolution is about? We're going to usurp the authority. We don't like the authority. We're going to change it. Eve says, I'm going to be the authority. You know what we do? That's what we do. I know God said don't do this, but I'm going to be in charge. So I will rebel. And I want a revolution. And to start thinking differently, where's the center? It used to be God. God created everything. Everything we were supposed to do was to be about his glorification. Then that would bring us pleasure and things would get along well. Oh, it's not that anymore. God's not the center anymore. I am. That's hard to swallow. That a lot of my decisions I make is all about who? Me. I don't really care who it affects. If they lose or whatever. As long as I get what I want. Isn't that right? Yeah. That's what he told Eve. That's what the devil told Eve. That's what you were about. She says, I'll be God now. Wow. Do we need a cross? Oh, yeah. Why? Because we're all just like Eve now. Thank you very much. We inherited that from our moms and dads, and they inherited it from their moms and dads, and it just came down the line. That's the way it goes. It's a revolution against God, against the Maker, because I know better than what God says. So the woman says, she will define what is good and evil. And God says, don't do that. Well, I think it's okay for me. Well, where did exception come from? Yeah. Did he make an exception just for you? Is your name in there somewhere? Everybody needs to do this except Terry. I don't think so. That's not the way that works, is it? The initial consequences of the first sin. Oh, boy, that was a good one, right? Together they defy Almighty God. Well, we'll just do our own thing. Adam knew better. It's not that Eve didn't know better. They both done it. He just tried to blame her. And then she tried to blame who? The snake. Well, it ain't my fault. It's him. He tricked me. Yeah? It's a strange sort of a notion to achieve divinity by inverting everything. Turn it upside down. So I'll be at the center now, right? We want enlightenment at all costs. And never stop to realize what the cost is. Hey. Oh, that's what I got to have to be satisfied. Wow. They sew fig leaves together in a covering. And God said, you know, you're going to need a covering, but that's not going to be sufficient. He's simply saying this to us. Fallen humankind cannot fix this thing. I don't care what denomination you put on it. It only is fixed by God himself in a prescribed way. What's the next thing he does? He sacrifices an animal. He's got to kill it to get the skins, right? I think that's the very first picture of the sacrifice that's passed down through Abraham, right on down through. What does he tell us in Hebrews? He says, oh no, all these animals were killed as a covering until the final sacrifice takes place in the person of Jesus that eradicates it. You know, a lot of times we take medicine just to cover up the thing. We don't take medicine to fix it. Ain't that right? We just want to feel better. Ain't that right? Well, you know, just give me something to make me feel better. I don't really want to go through the pain of having it fixed. I want to make it feel better. That's what's going on. God said, that's not going to work. I understand you want to be covered because the first time you sin, then you want to get away from God. You don't want to go to him. But have to remember, in God's grace, he said, oh, no, I have the best in mind for you. Just keep that in mind. So that's what he does. And it starts out. It goes through Abraham. It goes through Moses. It goes through a prescribed thing that God says in the temple. And then one day when Jesus, what does Revelation tell us? It says, before the world, the Lamb of God was slain. God is looking down the course of time. He said, I know they're going to mess this up, but I love them so much. And I know it's going to cost me to fix this thing. Because they cannot. I don't understand that. Why in the world would God love us? He should have just said, I'm done with y'all. That's what he started to do. Remember? He was about to destroy the whole world. And what happened? Moses said, oh, no. Well, wait a minute. Don't do that. And God said, all right. I'll give him a chance. And then he comes along with Noah, and he does. Except for a few of them. That don't take long, does it? And he's already covering them. He's already taking care of their sin. And that's exactly what it is. We make all kind of excuses for everything because we don't want to deal with the consequence of the fact that we are pretty fallen people and we need somebody to fix us. And we can't do it. I can't do it. I don't know any man or person that can do it. This side of the fall, you can't go back and fix this. He put a sword there and said, you can't go back to the perfect environment you're in. That is done. The age of innocence, it really is gone. He said, God said, you can't go back. I have to fix it. You cannot undo what's been done. It doesn't matter what kind of religious stuff. There's a lot of religious stuff out there. I'm not saying it's all bad. But what happens is sometimes the religious stuff starts to be worshipped instead of what the religious stuff was supposed to try to point people to. And what happens, that happens, and people don't realize it, so they start worshiping just a picture of a cross instead of Jesus that died on the cross. We're all susceptible. I mean, it's like we have to watch that constantly, or we'll start to worship a building. Oh, we can't do that in there. That's the church. We can't have a blood drive in there. In my heaven, it's the church. Well, when ain't nobody in here, it's a building. It ain't the church until all of us come. Isn't that right? That's what Jesus said, right? You see how that works? But we have all kind of religious stuff. Oh, well, as long as I can do those things, then that'll fix it. No, it doesn't. It doesn't change your heart. It doesn't fix that part. And that's exactly what he said. And then there's a broken fellowship. They run and hide. Just one sin. It only takes one sin. And you don't want to face God then, right? That's right. We're not prepared. You know, the Bible is not a book about primordial man coming up out of a... what do you call it? Ooze. And making him way to God. Because he's a good guy. No. The Bible is about a fallen man that can't fix it. You know, how many bad people does the Bible talk about? A lot. If it was written by men, they wouldn't talk about their sins. We would talk about how good we are. When's the last time you've written anything about yourself and talked about how bad you are? Hello? Is that in your journal? I don't journal. There's nothing wrong with journaling. I probably should, but Lord, there's some things I don't want to remember. You know what I mean? But I'm not saying don't journal. I'm just saying that's a weakness I have. All right? We have a problem. But they tell us we don't. If they don't want him, they'll find some kind of other god. Worship that. They're going to worship something. That's just part of our nature. Already early on, God's grace is covering. And look what happens. And his word, when he says, where art thou, penetrates their cover up. You can't cover this thing up. God sees what's going on. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows what you're thinking. There's no use in trying to cover up. Just be honest. And he asked them, he said, why'd you do this? Don't try to hide from it. You have to deal with it. If you want to get it fixed. He said, I was afraid. Yeah, well, you ought to be. My goodness. He has every right to condemn us and just say, I'm done with you guys and girls. But he didn't. He said, no, I'm going to fix this. Then there's a broken fellowship with people. Adam and Eve. What happens in the next chapter? Chapter 4. Brothers marry, killing brothers. Oh, the 12 sons of Jacob. Boy, no, that's a dysfunctional family. Eh? Lord have mercy. Why in the world didn't God just wipe them all out? Which would have been us. It's the same thing I want. God, why are you even tolerating us now? Because he loves us. That's all. There's no other way to explain that. Are we fallen? Yes. Do we need a cross? Yes. Do we need a resurrection? Yes. The resurrection solidifies the reason the cross was there. Because he defeats what we don't have time to finish. Because in the middle of all this stuff, what came? Death. You know that's coming, right? But because of the cross, we don't have to be afraid of it. If there wasn't a cross, you should be afraid of it because of what's coming. You say, well, that's your understanding. Well, I believe what the Bible says, and I believe that, you know, the fact is we have 100% right. That's the way that goes. Do we need a cross? Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that next week. God loves us so much. He said, I can fix this, but I'm the only one that can fix this. The Baptist church can't fix it. The Hindus can't fix it. Nobody can fix it. Only I can fix it. But the problem is, the majority of the world doesn't see that Christ is the only way to fix it. So they put on their fig leaves. And they say, we're okay. And God says, no, that's not sufficient. Let's don't be deceived. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved. You know, when our forefathers were putting together the Constitution that's being challenged quite often now in the political arena, you know, there were some of those who were had that Judeo-Christianity. Mankind was bad. They understood that. And they understood you could not leave the governing of the people up to the mass population. Hello. That's why we have an electoral college. Because popularity doesn't always give you the best results. And they created it for this reason. That if a bad guy got in there, every so many years, you could get him out. If you had election integrity. Where we're lacking right now, by the way. If y'all don't understand that, it's a farce right now, I'm telling you. They understood that. They said, oh, no, you can't let the mass, you can't let the group decide for a whole. There's too many crazy people out there. He said, no, you can't do that. Why? They understood fallen mankind can't be trusted on their own just to decide everything. You have to have these checks and balances in place so that some order, even if it gets messed up for 4 years or eight, or 12, you could eventually get out of it. That's why they set it up that way. That's why our election integrity is vitally important. I don't know if you know that or not. You know, if the crooks keep running the thing, we'll never have anybody in there who really cares. You don't have to agree with me. I don't care. But that's a fact. You know, that's just a fact. You know? Have you ever been in a system where your name was in the pot, but you saw it was rigged, so you didn't have a fair chance? See what we're talking about? Because we're fallen nature. We're susceptible. Anyway, I'm glad God loves us, and I'm glad Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sin, because we're in trouble. What did they say? Houston, we've had a problem, and we still have it. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross so that we could be right with you now and when this life is over. Thank you that you paid the price, that you fixed it when we could not. Lord, help us. Help us examine our lives and see what is going on where we're playing some game where we're not trusting you and we're not following you, but we're fooling ourselves to think we are. Lord, arrest our attention. Help us see it, so that it can bring glory to you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name.